And I'm muting you all. Well, good morning, everyone. How lovely to be together again this morning on the fourth Sunday of Lent. I have to say, I chuckled to myself at the top of the order of service with the spelling of fourth. That could be me. I don't know. But anyway, Mothering Sunday. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you and also with you. Let us thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let us offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and tell of his acts with shouts of joy. Come, worship the God who said, As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. We will come before our God. On this Mothering Sunday, we open our hearts before you, faithful God, bringing those we love and those we struggle to love, those we have lost and those we are afraid of losing. We bring our tears and our joy, our disappointments and our hopes. We bring all that we carry and all that we long to lay down in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us call to mind our sin, our failure to value the love of others, and our failure to love as Christ has loved us. Your love gives us life from the moment of conception. We fail to live as your children. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You call us to do good. We seek our own good. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You hear us when we cry for help. We ignore the cries of others. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And a song of St. Anselm. And we begin by saying the refrain together. Gather your little ones to you, O God, as a hen gathers her brood to protect them. Jesus, like a mother, you gather your people to you. You are gentle with us as a mother with her children. Often you weep over our sins and our pride. Tenderly you draw us from hatred and judgment. You comfort us in sorrow and bind up our wounds. In sickness you nurse us. With pure milk you feed us. Jesus, by your dying, we are born to new life. By your anguish and labour, we come forth in joy. Gather your little ones to you, O God, as a hen gathers her brood to protect them. Despair turns to hope through your sweet goodness. Through your gentleness, we find comfort in fear. Your warmth gives life to the dead. Your touch makes sinners righteous. Lord Jesus, in your mercy, heal us. In your love and tenderness, remake us. In your compassion, bring grace and forgiveness. For the beauty of heaven, may your love prepare us. Gather your little ones to you, O God, as a hen gathers her brood to protect them. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And Helen has our first reading for us.
Our first reading this morning is taken from 1 Samuel 16, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." But Samuel asked, "How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." "Take a heifer with you," the Lord replied, "and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me." So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. "What's wrong?" they asked. "Do you come in peace?" "Yes," Samuel replied. "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to sacrifice too. When they had arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "This is not the one the Lord has chosen." Next, Jesse summoned Shimei. But Samuel said, "Neither is this the one the Lord has chosen." In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats." "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome, with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And we turn now to our psalm, beginning with the refrain together. The Lord shall keep watch over your going out and your coming in. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you hasten to rise up early and go so late to rest, eating the bread of toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. The Lord shall keep watch over your going out and your coming in. Unless the Lord builds the house, I think we've got that as a repeat. Hang on, turn over, verse 4. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his gift. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy are those who have their quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they dispute with their enemies in the gate. The Lord shall keep watch over your going out and your coming in. Lord, you are ever watchful and bless us with your gifts as you provide for all our needs. So help us to build only what pleases you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. And Helen has our second reading for us.
Our second reading is taken from John chapter 19, beginning at verse 25. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, happy Mothering Sunday. I know this can be a happy day for some, a sad day for others, and a day of mixed feelings and emotions. But we have been blessed with many biological mothers and grandmothers, and much more importantly, many, many spiritual ones. And you are here today. So, what pictures or images spring to mind when you think of motherhood? There is a bronze sculpture in Exeter Cathedral of which I'm particularly fond, a lovely blue painting of a mother and child by Picasso, and a multicoloured glory of a mother and child by Klimt, and then the exquisite sculpture by Michelangelo of Jesus and his mother, known as the Pietà in St. Peter's in Rome. I went to Rome first with my parents when I was a child, and I can remember seeing the Pietà for the first time. I was entranced. It was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. And it was the first time, but not the last, a piece of artwork led me to tears. No wonder it is considered to be one of the greatest works of art ever produced by a human being. If you don't know it, it is a marble statue of Mary holding Jesus' lifeless body. It was made in the year 1498, and Michelangelo was only 23 years old. Unbelievable. But apparently, there is a problem with it. Today, it is housed in St. Peter's behind bulletproof glass. According to the experts, the problem is the way that you view it. You see, when Michelangelo was sculpting this masterpiece, there were no light bulbs. No, so sculptors and painters focused on natural sunlight. If you stand in front of the statue and view it only from the front, Mary appears to be the focus because Jesus' face is turned away. The problem is that it was never created to be seen in that way, and it completely changed what Michelangelo intended. You see, it was originally housed in the chapel of Saint Petronilla, a Roman mausoleum that had natural sunlight streaming in. When the statue is lit that way, Mary's face has a shadow on it, and Jesus is the focus of the sculpture. One critic said that when it is presented this way, it seems as though Jesus could fall from Mary's lap and be presented to you at any moment. Yes, Mary is important, but Jesus is the focus. And the same is true today. It is good to celebrate motherhood in all its forms, but even so, today Jesus has to be the focus. He has to be the lens through which we see. So, what can our gospel reading teach us this morning? This is an extraordinary few verses, and I have tried to imagine it as if I was there. First of all, this scene takes place near the cross. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Actually, the translation for the word near is beside. They were standing beside the cross. Matthew tells us that many women were looking on from a distance, but these four women must have got closer and closer until they were standing right beside the cross. Can you imagine it? The smell, the noise, the fear, the blood, the pain. For most of us, myself included, I would have wanted to get away from that place as quickly as possible. But the worse the suffering and torment gets, the closer the women come. And you see, that is the point. We have to stay close to the cross. We live in the shadow of the cross. The cross is not a place we visit, and it's not a place to be viewed from a distance. We have to choose to stand by the cross. It's the way we choose to live. But standing by the cross is dangerous. It isn't safe. Matthew tells us standing by the cross were his mother and his mother's sister. Hang on a moment, I thought this week. I really hadn't noticed that before. Jesus' mother and Jesus' aunt stayed with him to the end. We don't even know his aunt's name. I found myself thinking that I'm so glad Mary had her sister with her in her devastation and desolation. Standing by the cross, whether parent or aunt or friend, can be scary. It's risky. It's dangerous. It's life-changing. What must it have felt like for them to watch Jesus be tortured, humiliated, and in excruciating pain? It has been my privilege to sit with people as they are dying. It is a privilege to make that final journey with them. And I have experienced too the privilege of people sitting with me when they thought I was going to die. But I've only done that against the context of clean sheets, gentle medical help, pain relief. Not like Jesus's death. How could Mary bear it? Maybe she remembered the words of the angel and her response to knowing that she would be Jesus' mother. I am the Lord's servant, she said. Be it unto me according to his will. All the words of Simeon when he saw the baby Jesus. This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword, Mary, a sword will pierce your very soul. Standing by the cross, standing alongside others, doing God's will is never easy and it may not be safe, but it's good. Remember Mr. Beaver in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe when he tries to explain to the children who Aslan the lion is. And this is what he says. Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And Mrs. Beaver adds that anyone who can face Aslan without their knees knocking is either very brave or silly. Aslan is not a tame lion, he's wild. And we cannot tame or control God, much as though we'd like to. Just because God cannot be tamed does not mean that he is not good. Very, very good all the time. As Mary thinks about her son, so Jesus, while on the cross, thinks about his mother. He can see how much she is suffering. It is almost certainly the case that by the time of Jesus' crucifixion, Mary was a widow. More grief and bereavement and loss. There is no mention of Joseph after the episode at the temple when Jesus was 12 years old. And every time Mary is mentioned in the Gospels at the wedding in Cana, when she brings Jesus' brothers and sisters to see him and so on, there is never any mention of Joseph, who presumably had died. Jesus knew Mary's agony, and he was aware that maybe after his own death, there would be no one to care for his mother. And as the oldest son, that was his responsibility, and no doubt that concerned him. And so Jesus speaks to his mother. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there. So he said to his mother, "He is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "She is your mother." Even in his dying moments, Jesus' concern for the future well-being of his family is paramount. Jesus sees his mother and says, "Woman." Why didn't Jesus say mother? Woman isn't a disrespectful term, it's like saying madam. As one theologian explained, her identity as Jesus' mother is not important to John. It's striking that John never uses the name of Mary for Jesus' mother. In fact, it's remarkable how rarely the mother of Jesus is called Mary in all of the New Testament, apart from the Nativity story. As the New Testament presents her, when her son enters his ministry, she becomes a follower, a disciple, as others do, and she is a beloved member of the new family that comes into being through the power of Christ's death. You see, Mary's worth, her identity, was not because she was a mother. Her worth, her identity, was through being a believer, a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. I always think it's fascinating when you are asked to describe yourself, what are the things that spring to mind? Wife, mother, teacher, vicar, widow. And where does the follower of Jesus Christ sit on the list? Our identity and worth come from that. And that alone. Our identity is all to do with our relationship with Jesus. Paul writes in Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And in Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Standing by the cross gives birth to a new family and a spiritual family. Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. This is so much more than Jesus just taking care of his mother and asking John to look after her. This, at the foot of the cross, is a picture of the church. Jesus entrusted Mary to the disciple John. He didn't entrust her to his brothers and sisters who were still alive. We know that he had four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and some sisters who are not named. Surely one of them could have looked after their mum into old age. So what else is going on here? I think there is something quite profound about what Mary and the disciple John represent to us here. Because here are two people who are there with Jesus at the foot of the cross. Two people who believe in his mission. Two people who believe in his claim to be the Son of God, the Lord and Saviour of the world. This is in stark contrast to Jesus' brothers. John tells us not even his brothers believed in him. So it seems that what is happening here between Jesus the Saviour and the two people at the foot of the cross who believe in him is that a new family is created. Listen again. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loves standing there. And Jesus said, "He is your son, she is your mother." And from that time, the disciple took her to live in his home. This new family is created in the shadow of the cross. Through the blood of Christ shed for us, a new home, a new family, a new community comes to life. A new relationship is born. Here, it is here at the foot of the cross, as Jesus sheds his blood, and a woman embraces a boy, and a boy embraces a woman. It is here that the church begins. And as we celebrate and worship this morning, we are kneeling at the foot of the cross and continuing the work that Jesus started on that day. I don't know whether you know this, but you and I are blood relatives. Not through our blood, but through Jesus' blood, shed on the cross for all. Mary and John formed the church in their relationship with each other. They offered one another comfort. They strengthened each other. They encouraged one another and shared hospitality together. These surely must be the hallmarks of our church today: love, comfort, support, and hospitality. This is what Jesus had in mind when he formed the church from the cross on that first Good Friday. So Mothering Sunday is so much deeper than we might at first think. It is time to celebrate the love of our mothers. Yes, of course it is. And it is time to celebrate the love of people who have cared for us throughout the years. But it is also time to give thanks to God for the church, for Mother Church formed at the foot of the cross. It is Mother Church when we should find comfort and support, encouragement and love and hospitality. Today, we are grateful for our blood relatives, our relatives who share the same DNA in us, and our blood relatives who share faith in Jesus Christ. I am so grateful to you. Let's celebrate today. Amen. And Helen is going to lead us in our intercessions.
Thank you, Steph. And to ensure the flow of the beautiful prayers that we have this morning, I will name those that we're going to pray for before the final refrain together. And so we say together, in the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy. O Lord, restore us and make us new. God of love, for the softening of our hearts and the opening of our arms, for generosity that welcomes the lost, for our need of your tenderness to restore our failures, for our churches to be renewed in loving and giving, for the courage to lay down our lives for one another, for the strength to answer your call to serve others, for a new start, we cry to you. Bring healing and hope. God of love, for all who carry the scars of conflict, the external and internal signs of pain endured, for the lost and lonely, the displaced and the dispossessed, for all whose lives have been broken, for those in our own community who are suffering, for all who wait powerless at the bedside of the ill and the dying, we cry to you. Bring healing and hope. God of love, for the needs in our own communities, for families under pressure, for people struggling with rising bills, for people in debt and distress who have nowhere to turn, for all who need to know today they are loved, for all who are bringing up children amid the pressures of today's world, for the sacrifices that form the fabric of parenthood, and for children and young people facing a future full of challenges, we cry to you. Bring healing and hope. God of love, for mothers who are apart from their children, for all motherless and lost children, for all of us whose mothers have died, for a parent or parents of a child who has died, and for children without parents, for all who long for children but are unable to have them, for all the struggles of family life, for children far away from home, for unaccompanied children fleeing fighting, and for children whose homes are not places of safety and kindness, we cry to you. Bring healing and hope. God of love, for the places in your world that are now a litany of despair, for towns razed to the ground, for communities wiped entirely from the map, for the besieged, the abducted, and the starving, for motherless children in a war zone, for the injured and the dying, and for those who weep by their side, we cry to you. Bring healing and hope. God of love, for the places in the world that are torn apart by conflict, for the hungry and the homeless, for the persecuted and the oppressed, for all who need safety and shelter, for those whose rights are denied, for the places where truth cannot be spoken, and where dissenting voices are silenced, we cry to you. Bring healing and hope. God of love, for simple pleasures in the midst of challenge and hardship, for lengthening hours of daylight, for people who lift our burdens, wipe away our tears, share our lives and our dreams, and call out our best selves, for your faithful presence with us through darkness and light, and for a deeper experience of your love, which shapes us, calls us, rescues us, and will bring us home. We cry to you, bring healing and hope. And today we pray especially for those who are sick, our very dear and precious Steph, Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Margaret T, Elizabeth, Joy, Tony, Herbert, Brian, Alison, Margaret R, Nigel, Audrey, Sharon, John P, John L, and Richard. And we hold in our hearts Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And finally, we pray for the family and friends of those who have recently died. Valerie Greenfield. And so we say finally together, in the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy. O Lord, restore us and make us new. Amen.
And the Collect for Mothering Sunday. God of compassion, whose Son Jesus Christ, the child of Mary, shared the life of a home in Nazareth, and on the cross drew the whole human family to himself, strengthen us in our daily living, that in joy and in sorrow we may know the power of your presence to bind together and to heal, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Christ so loved the world that he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit so loves the world that he sends us out in love and to be loved. May God, who gave birth to all creation, bless us. May God, who became incarnate by an earthly mother, bless us. May God, who broods as a mother over her children, bless us. May Almighty God bless us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Helen. Thank you for leading us from Australia. Enjoy your last few days there.
Amazing.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. I just so that you know, if on the notices, things like the Agape meal or whatever, if you want to, if you can, and you wanted to join in with that, you'd be more than welcome. Those notices are for you as Zoomers as much as for anybody who is resident in the X Valley. And I will be doing Holy Week meditation at 6:30, I think it is, Compline. on Zoom using this sign up. Not on Thursday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, not Thursday, because I'll be at the meal. If you'd like to join in with that.
Thank you so
But there'll
much.
be stuff about that on the end of the thing. And I will see you next week. I hope you have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you for who you are and the encouragement that you give.
Oh, bless
Thank
you.
you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for
Bye-bye.
having a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
That's a lovely
Bye. Thank you. Have a
call.
lovely.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Safe journey.
Safe
Have a
travels.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.